This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSiNMM. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line, longtime friend of the show, does a great job covering LSU, college football, the NFL, the Saints on WWL in New Orleans. You can follow him on X at Mike Dettillier. Mike, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Hope you all well.
Back at you. Big splash on NFL day one of free agency for the Saints by adding running back Travis Etienne. He comes in. What'd you make of that move, and what does that mean for the future of Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, it surprised him because the last couple of years, you know, the Saints, they haven't shopped at Saks. They've been going to Walmart on days three and four. So it's none of them type deals. But, yeah, right off the bat, Travis is a piece of the puzzle. I've scouted and known Travis since he was 15 years old. He's from Jennings High School, a little bit to the west of me here in Louisiana. Speed back, he has really become a much better receiver coming out of the backfield than he was certainly in the high school ranks. He developed that at Clemson, and I think he's a nice piece of the puzzle. They still need to add another running back. This is just a gut feeling that I think we've seen the last of Alvin Kamara in a Saints uniform. That's mm-hmm. just my feeling on it, and it may be a retirement for Alvin, to be honest with you. But he's a great player here. He's a bit of an outlier in that you think of, most of the top running backs that I've covered in this organization. If it was as a kid watching Chuck Muncy or George Rogers, Reggie Bush, Deuce McAllister, Mark Ingram, all those guys were first-round picks. Tony Galbraith and Dalton Hilliard were early second-round picks. The Saints got Alvin Kamara in round three. And how big of an impact guy he was for this football team as a runner and receiver. But Father Time kind of rings your bell in any profession. And you can see Alvin's not been the same guy the last couple of years. And I think ATM would be a good piece of the puzzle, but they need another back here to alternate. And because not everybody's Saquon Barkley, okay? Look at the Super Bowl champs all year long. Other than toward the end, it was Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet until Zach got hurt. I do think they need another one. But man, I really like Travis. I think he's a good edge runner, guy that can catch the football coming out of the backfield. He gives you the ability to make a splash play, and that's something as a runner that has not happened here in the black and gold in the last couple of years.
Would you think of Tua going to Atlanta and if he'll start right away?
He ain't going there to watch. He ain't going to have no baseball cap on his head, and he's watching. He signed there because he's going to start. I would be shocked when they open up the first week in September that he is not the starter for the Falcons. I think he's the guy. He did not sign there to watch. He's going to be the guy for him. And I think he's a good fit in Stefanski's offense, which is a lot built on timing, touch, get the ball out quick. And, Atlanta really has been built to run the football. Their offensive line. And then for years, you had to go up against Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And they gave you quite a 1-2 punch running the ball. And they set up play action because of the run. So I think Tua is going to be the starter in Atlanta, barring any injury on opening day for the Falcons.
You think there's going to be a competition, or do you think it's his job to lose? And as of right now, he absolutely has to be the starting quarterback.
I think it's his job to lose.
Okay.
I'm a big Michael Penix fan when he was at Washington. I don't know if this is the right fit for him in Atlanta. I'll be honest with you. And sometimes it does happen that way. But I do believe strongly that it, when Tua signed that contract, you knew he was not going to be there as the backup. He's going to be there to be the starter.
You are a draft guru. You know Ty Simpson. Do you think he can go in the mid-first round here?
I think he's a late teens, 20s pick in round one. Smart, efficient, throws a nice football, very catchable ball. He carried that offense for a big part of the season. Shockingly, I didn't think I'd live long enough to say this. Alabama didn't run the ball well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where for years and years, you know, especially under Coach Saban, they hung their hat on the ability to run the football. They could not do it last year. And Ty bailed them out. And they didn't have a great year from Ryan Williams. He's one of the star receivers in college football. He didn't play well last year. He was very inconsistent. Ty Simpson bailed them out time after time in games. So I think late teens into the 20s, this is a quarterback-starved league. Ty Simpson, someone will pull the trigger on him, I would say from 18 to 28 in round one.
Okay, that's noted. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Mike Dettillier, WWL Sports in New Orleans, on the Progressive Guest Line. Do you think the Raiders absolutely have to take Mendoza, number one overall? Would you be interested in other teams trading up if you're the Las Vegas Raiders? What do you make of him overall as a prospect?
Unless they get a Godfather deal, he's there. You know, he's the guy in for the Raiders. Now, there is going to be some fine-tuning with him because he strictly played in a lot of RPO offense. So a lot of stuff over the middle, he didn't really throw a lot of that at Indiana. But and you see him and his ability to handle difficult situations. He's a tough guy mentally, physically, throws a nice football. He's got really good timing skills with his throws. He's the guy they build around for the next few seasons. No question in my mind, he'll be the first overall pick in the draft. Really, the draft starts at two with the Jets.
Yep.
That's where it starts. And if they pass on Arvell Reese, shame on them.
Okay, good. Well, there you go. You answered my next question. If the draft was held tonight, he would absolutely have to be the guy?
If I'm picking two, I pick Arvell Reese. Okay, he was mostly used as an off-ball linebacker. Every once in a while, they let him run it off the edge. He's a freak athlete, and his pass rush skills are really good. And the man upstairs only made so many people that big, that fast, that quick. Okay, and just a handful of them in this world. He's one of them, and despite how well he played last year, I think he is going to end up being a much better pro than he was as a collegiate. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
So he's got some special skills with him, but I would play Sikkim with him. Arvell, the guy that catches the ball, you go after him. You go after the quarterback and put him down real hard. And you think of the coach, I mean, Aaron Glenn, he has got to win.
Yes.
There is no tomorrow for him. He has got to be able to have some semblance of a defense that can stop somebody. And he's got some pieces of that now with some veterans and bringing in Minkah Fitzpatrick and DeMario Davis. But you got to get a young stud up front. Arvell Reese would definitely be the three guys. I mean, the two guy for me. If I was picking for the Jets.
Fair enough. Mike, we love talking to you. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes today here in a busy offseason to come on the show today. We appreciate it. Enjoy the badness as well.
Thanks so much, guys. Y'all take care.
Back at you. Appreciate Mike Dettillier, WWL Sports in New Orleans. Follow him on X at Mike Dettillier on the Progressive Guest Line.
All right. Always opinionated, knows his stuff. Draft expert as well. Excellent. Wisconsin making this interesting. They were minus 3,000 in play.
It was just a one-point game.
Yeah, they now made their free throws. Yeah, weren't they? It's a one-point game again. Weren't they up like 12?
Oh, they were up doubles. Yeah, yeah.
I saw 3,000 in play.
I think it was 72-55. So that means if they...
Oh, wow.
Washington here has scored 30 points or 25 points anyway, like down the stretch to get back into this game.
Something may have happened too. I think they maybe missed a free throw or turned it over because it's in place off the board. Up 1, 3 seconds. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Win it. Hit your goal and you're entered to win a free trip of your choice. Hit 1,000 in volume and you're in for the $5,000 trip. Hit 10,000, you're in for the $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Every additional 10 wins earns you another entry. Download ProfitX, create your account, use code VSIN, MM. Win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot. Only on ProfitX, go get it. VSIN, MM is your code.
Win Some, Lose Some is coming up next, and we'll tell you how some of these tournaments have fared in recent years. How about higher than 61% with totals in this one conference?
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. This show is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, King of March is giving you a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000 just for betting the tournament. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. More college basketball to begin the hour. And we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Mike Montesano joins the program, runs his own numbers. A friend of the show and the network as well. And you can follow him on X at Bets and Reps. Hey, Mike, how's championship week going so far?
It was going great up until the 12 o'clock games. I had a couple plays at Iowa, and they got up early and then got down by like 12, made a nice run. And then, you know, I think the great Jeff Van Gundy said, the NBA is a make or miss league. Well, it's for college too. And a couple misses and a couple makes, they lose by three. And I got the closing line value. I got plus 1.5. I think they closed at minus 1.5. And then I had North Carolina State plus 6. Again, they foul with 1 second left, and Virginia goes to the line. Yeah. Makes two free throws. They win by 7.
There you go. Always fun when that happens. I want to begin with this because you have a ticket on New Mexico around 7-1 to win the Mountain West. And there's always a discussion this time of year for conference tournament week or for the big dance. Well, this team has X odds. Is it better I grab that right now, or should I do the rollover parlay? And it's, okay, usually the rollover parlay is going to pay better unless you have big upsets happen. And that's what you had happen last night, because New Mexico was going to get Boise State in theory, and then they go out and lose as a 14.5-point favorite. So now what? New Mexico is at what number right now to win the tournament?
I believe they moved from 7-1. I think they're plus 350 now. So they're the second favorite against Utah State. It looks like Utah State's probably going to advance today and probably play Grand Canyon, I would assume. So, but you know, they've got a tough, you know, they probably have a nice win tonight against San Jose, but who knows? And then they'll get the winner of Colorado State, San Diego State, and they split with both of them. Plus 350, you go into the finals against Utah State, who, you know, they played really well the last time. I think they're 0-2 against them this year, but they played them tough at home. And you just kind of take your chances, I think, with a 7-1 ticket. But plus 350. And then they're the big favorite tonight. I don't know if I would do anything with that.
Yeah, probably
roll
not.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent. How about Ole Miss off the big upset win against Texas, taking on Georgia? Dogs laying 6.
Yeah, Ole Miss, I mean, a big win last night for them, and they didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And they're playing a high octane Georgia team tonight, and I really like this Georgia team, and they, you know, I think they're going to get a big win tonight, move on, and they could ruffle some feathers over the next couple of days just because they can score. They just beat Alabama pretty convincingly right before the end of the regular season. I run a bunch of numbers, as Mitch was saying, and you know, everything points to Georgia. With their adjusted scoring margin, adjusted efficiency margin, and I like to use last 10. I know some people don't like to use recent form. I think heading into the conference tournament is something you should definitely take a look at. It's not the be all end all, but they've been playing really well. And Ole Miss, you know, this is not an old school Chris Beard defensive team. I think Georgia puts it on them pretty good tonight. It's actually one of my bigger edges per my numbers. I got a plus 5.8 point edge on this game. So I'm gonna roll with the dogs tonight. And I think, you know, Mississippi played last night, not shooting the ball well. Maybe they're not a cut, you know, they're not liking the sight lines there. I just think with the up-tempo offense, Georgia. And then it's a little revenge game for them too. They did lose to them at home in overtime, and this is going to catch their attention, losing to them at home. And then their upset win over Texas last night. So I think you'll get the full effort from Georgia tonight.
Mike, do your numbers say anything about the total at 156.5? You mentioned Georgia's high octane offense. They average, we just had a graphic on the screen, averaging more than 90 points per game, allowing 79 plus. And they were fun to watch because they were in so many high scoring games. Is there an edge there with the total or no?
One of the things I don't do, and you got to know what you're good at, what you're not good at, and I've tried some totals over the years, and I just haven't been able, it's either I'm unlucky or not. I don't run totals.
Okay.
I know Greg Peterson does a great job with that and some other guys at the network, but I, you know, truth be told, I don't run totals.
Fair enough. Another game that you like tonight, and I brought this game up yesterday.
Yeah.
Multiple times on the show, Tulane catching four against Memphis. That number didn't make much sense to me, and Tulane blasted them again, or not again, but they played in really close-scoring games against Memphis this year. Now they get Charlotte tonight. Who do you like here?
I'm going to roll with the Green Wave in this one. My numbers have them as a slight favorite. You've got a battle of the 12th worst offense against the 12th worst defense. So pick your poison, I guess. And that's why it's kind of a close game. The spread is relatively short, but I like to take the better offenses, the go against the worst defense in this case. But I think Tulane might've figured it out the last couple of games. Again, the last two games were against the same team, Memphis, but Memphis is pretty good defensively and they've scored 95 and 81 points against them. So I think they might have the ball rolling. And again, this is a numbers play. I'm not really enamored with Charlotte. They've lost three in a row, seven of their last nine. And in close games, you kind of want, really, really close games like this that could come down to the wire. You want a good free throw shooting team. And Tulane is one of the better free throw shooting teams in the country. And I think after that win and last night, they're going to come in guns a-blazing and get this win.
Okay. Loyola Chicago, dreadful season, 9-23, won as a 4-point dog yesterday against Richmond. How about Davidson laying six here? Do you think they pound him?
Well, I had Richmond yesterday against Loyola Chicago. All my numbers favored Richmond. And if you're watching that game or if you're just following on the ticker, they were up by 12 and I'm like, man, they're kind of cruising, you know? And Loyola Chicago has been one of the more luckier teams, believe it or not, if you go to KenPom's luck factor, one of the luckier teams in the country. So it led me to not only all my numbers, but maybe some negative regression for Loyola Chicago. Now, I know they had some injuries throughout the year. They're kind of getting healthier at the right time. But Davidson, you know, I run everything, and Davidson has got the edge tonight. And one thing I like about Davidson is they can shoot the three. And they can defend a three. So when you're going against a not a great team overall in Loyola Chicago, I think if Davidson can get that lead, and I've been hearing Davidson, I heard a couple people talk about Davidson having a shot to win the conference tournament. Maybe, okay, there's some quality teams ahead of them if you want to take a long shot with Davidson. But I got the better offensive team. I got a team that, you know, Loyola Chicago just is not great. I think if they get to that 11-12 point lead, which you're going to want to if you're Davidson, because the only downfall with Davidson, they don't shoot free throws very well.
Yeah.
One of the worst free throw shooting teams in the country.
That can be maddening.
With the line being where it is and not being as close of a game as we just talked about, Tulane, if they can get to that 12-13 point mark, maybe Loyola Chicago just kind of calls off the dogs and says, hey guys, we're going to go home. And, you know, off an upset win, I like taking teams that it's going to get Davidson's attention tonight, you know, was saying, hey, you know, they just came back and won last night. It'll and they had a night to rest. So it will get their attention tonight, and I think they get the big win.
Very good. What are you benching nowadays?
I'm not benching that as much as I was probably last year. I think when I was talking to you, I think what I have to do is stop eating. I've been, the bulk stage is kind of over, and we want to try to lean out for the summer. So now it's time to count your macronutrients and weigh everything, and one of those boring people for a couple months and shed a few pounds.
That's what you got to do, I guess. Yeah.
What was more frustrating?
That's what you.
Yeah. What was more frustrating, the bad beats today or trying to buy Metallica tickets at the Sphere?
Oh, I hands down probably trying to buy Metallica tickets. You know, you're going to lose some bad beats and you're going to win some nice ones, some nice games. But I'm going to tell you right now, there was nothing more frustrating than trying to get Metallica tickets. You know, two straight days of waiting in line for Ticketmaster and at least an hour each time and being told, you need a code. You don't need a code. Come back tomorrow and, whatever it may be. And it just, I said, you know what? I guess I'm going to have to suck it up and go on the StubHub or wherever and try to get tickets, but I will be there. Probably not for two nights. That's a little expensive, but one night definitely just to get the experience. And I'm glad they added the shows. I'm not sure what show we're going to hit yet. We were looking at the October 24th night.
Okay.
With some friends of mine.
All right. Very good. You can follow Mike on X. He's at Bets and Reps. Thanks for the time, pal. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. I do run simulations real quick. I do run simulations. You can check them over at my Substack as well.
Okay. Free. Very good. Excellent.
Appreciate it.
And he was on the Progressive guest line. He was number 500,000 in queue.
Yeah, you nailed it. After they announced only 8 shows. And then they're like, boy, we couldn't believe the response. It's a bucket list item.
Oh, you think people...
It's one of the biggest bands of all time playing in the best venue ever. What do you think's going to happen?
We didn't anticipate that.
Yes.
People from all over the world were going to come? We're stunned. By the way, Tennessee's tied it up.
No.
51 a pop.
Oh, they were down 12.
7.5 to go now in the second half.
Oh, doctor.
That is a... now you gotta look at what the number was pregame.
Yeah.
They were laying 5.5. They're all of a sudden back. And
wow.
But I'll say this. So once a team... This can hit a team, though, and they can run out once in a while of gas... Once they overcome that big deficit and get it right back to where it is, that takes a lot out of a team sometimes. I just don't think Auburn's very good, obviously, hence that team being a bubble team. But they've been the better team here for a good, 30-plus minutes so far in the game. We're going to dive into props for the big dance coming up. You can bet on these two teams to win it all versus the field, and the field is only $1.60. This is Follow the Money live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by PropitX, and right now you can win flights and hotels anywhere you want, up to $10,000 with their King of March contest. Sign up with the code VSiNMM. We're going to go best bets for tonight's card. We'll look at conference outrights. VSiN host Matt Eumanns joins us here for a good half an hour. Matt, you have a bunch of plays for tonight. Do you have anything on Auburn here in this game, like around +5.5? They were just down by 9. They cut it to 7 with 90 seconds left. They were leading by double digits in the second half here.
You got a lot of crazy games this week, man. We saw Whiskey almost blow a lead, a big lead, not too long ago. I did not bet this game. I think our buddy Chris Massaro was on this game. I know somebody who was pretty big on Auburn, but how do you handicap this Tennessee team? To me, it's really tough, so I stayed away from that.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, you've been all over Purdue and anti-Purdue. You're on a 12-2 run fading the Boilermakers, and a lot of them have been easy, and a lot of outright losses, especially at home. Mm-hmm. What do you think? This number's up to 14 against Northwestern.
All right, so yesterday I had the Purple Cats +4.5 against Indiana. Northwestern scratched a starter a couple hours before game time. Number gets bet up. I just went ahead and stuck with it. I trust Northwestern as an underdog. And what happens? 1-point game at the half, Northwestern blows it open, is up almost 20 in the second half, wins by 13. This is my handicap of this game. So I've been betting against Purdue very consistently since the middle of January. And Mitch, you remember the game when the Boilermakers blew out Wisconsin early January. Mm-hmm. Purdue was up 25 in the second half in Madison in that game. And I said, you know, this is an outlier. This team's not this good. And obviously the rating was sky high for Purdue after that. You're talking about a top five team at that point in time that had one loss in the season. Whiskey went to Michigan the next week as an 18.5-point dog, upset the Wolverines in a wild game. But I said, I'm going to start to fade Purdue here because I believe this team's going to be overvalued in the betting market. And then the more I watched Purdue, I just saw the play on the floor getting worse and worse. So I just kept doing it. So I'm 12-2 betting against Purdue since the middle of January. And I bet against them today. I took 12 this morning. I just took 13.5 for a little more down here in the circuit book right before I came up to talk with you guys. Chris Collins is a hell of a coach. I know he doesn't get a lot of credit from people because Northwestern doesn't win in the NCAA tournament, and it's not a high-profile team. That guy does more with less than I think any college hoops coach in America. He doesn't have NBA talent, but he wins. And he, you know what? I'll say this about Matt Painter. Outstanding program builder. He knows how to recruit, right? He had the Big Ten Player of the Year the last 3 years. Neither of them were highly touted out of high school. This guy can really recruit. He can build a program. But he's not a good game coach. Chris Collins is an outstanding game coach, and he coaches circles around Matt Painter. Now, again, Purple Cats are down a starter here, but I think you got to take the points. As we saw, even when these teams are up big, they will blow the lead. Mitch, you just watched it with Wisconsin.
Yeah, today. Almost gave it up.
How about this trend with Matt Painter, by the way? Have you guys mentioned this Big Ten tournament trend with Painter? 1-15 against the spread in his last 16 Big Ten tournament games over the past 10 years.
What?
What?
He's covered one game last 10 years?
Yeah, Purdue won the Big Ten tournament a few years ago. Zach Edey was there, but they failed to cover, I think, every game in that tournament. 1-15 ATS the last 16 Big Ten tournament games.
Let me ask you about possible concerns here. It sounds like you have none, but Northwestern...
Oh, you always have concerns. Well, every bet you make, or you'd bet everything you had on it. So, you know, but I have a couple of concerns. Northwestern's down a starter, for one thing.
Third game in 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they... the result the last time they played did not go well for Purdue at all. Is there something like maybe how Utah State got blasted by UNLV both times and they killed them today in the third time around? Does that linger in the back of your head at all?
The difference in that, and here's why I stayed away from UNLV today, even that when that number went up to 8.5, I said, I'm not going to take the bait. Because it's different when the top team in the league lost twice to a team that's seeded 8th or 9th, right? Mm-hmm. When a far superior team loses the first two meetings, you don't want to bet against that team necessarily in the third meeting. But Purdue did not lose to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Actually came back to win that game 70-66 in Evanston last week. So it's a little bit different situation.
Okay. How about Oklahoma and Texas A&M?
I like the Sooners here. And how about you talk about a coach who looked like he was dead. He was a dead man walking.
Yes.
Porter Moser, 7-2 in the last 9 games. The Sooners won 5 in a row in that 5-game win streak. They beat Texas, Missouri, and Auburn. Last night, Oklahoma shot 60% from the field, made 11 threes. Nigel Pack, who's a veteran guard, 24 points on 5 of 10 threes. Now, overnight, and I was handicapping these games and betting these overnight on apps, I got Oklahoma plus 3.5 at BetMGM. I think the number's down to 1.5, but I still like the Sooners to win the game here. Our buddy Sooner Adam Phillips asked me about this game last night, and I said, take the 3.5 at BetMGM. I actually made the line Oklahoma 1.
Oh, wow, okay. So,
right now, I think it's Texas A&M 1 or 1.5.
The total has come down a couple of points as well, but the way that these two teams play, I'm not going to be surprised here if it's in the 80s tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it could be. You know what? Totals are so tricky in these games. I don't want to bet under, so let's put it that way. And yesterday, I lost betting an over on the BYU game. But when you bet the unders, you got to worry about 20 points being scored in the last minute, minute and a half.
Yep.
With all these teams are... will not die, and they will foul to the bitter end, and that's a tricky part when you're betting unders. So, yeah, I agree with you. It should be a fast-paced game anyway. Both teams are playing well offensively. I could only bet the over in that game.
How about Ole Miss going for another upset?
Well, Chris Beard's had a nightmare of a season. You know, ever since he had that domestic incident with his fiance when he had the Texas job and got fired, it's been a rough road back for him. Yeah, he gets a little bit of redemption last night, right? Ole Miss beats Texas, and now he's got Georgia. The Rebels beat Georgia 97-95 in overtime in mid-January. That was in Athens. I think this Rebels team's starting to figure things out a little bit here. I did take six with Ole Miss. This team is 2-3 in the last five games. Two of the losses were in overtime. The other lost by three. Ole Miss won at Auburn. Beat Texas by 10 yesterday. And how about this? Ole Miss beat Texas by 10 despite shooting 1-for-10 from three and getting outscored by 6 points at the free throw line. How do you do that and still win the game by 10? So that shows you they're playing better all-around basketball. And I like Ole Miss here catching the points against a Georgia team that's actually really good.
All right. Yeah. A great call last night. Several great calls by Bruce Marshall. One of them, how can Cal Davis be dogs? And they were catching six and they won outright. Let's go to the Big West again tonight. Does UC Davis do it again?
So I was driving across town yesterday, listening on 1230 The Game, and I heard your interview with Bruce Marshall, and I heard you guys also talking with Rocco Miller, and they both liked UC Davis in this game, right? Yeah. And this is why this game, that game last night, is a perfect example of why conference tournament week, championship week can be better if you're a diehard college basketball better, because you're not going to find bad lines like that in the NCAA tournament next week.
All right.
Right? So you see Santa Barbara laying five last night to UC Davis. I heard Bruce talk about it. I heard Rocco talk about it. Those guys were spot on. That was great that they came on your show and touted that. And it came through with flying colors, right? Bruce said wrong team favorite.
Yeah.
And UC Davis basically led that game wire to wire, controlled the game, swept UC Santa Barbara in the three games this season. And again, this is where coaching comes in. I love to bet on the best coaches and tournaments because you got quick turnarounds. That's why Danny Hurley's been so good. You know, he can prepare his team, and his team's so tough to prepare for in a short amount of time. But Jim Les, the UC Davis coach, coached circles around Pasternak at UC Santa Barbara again, like he did in the first two games this year. He did it again last night. I like UC Davis, and I would lean over. I was talking to Bruce Marshall about this game a little bit today. He's not quite as enthusiastic about Davis today. But I did play UC Davis plus 1.5. Bruce likes us over 155 for what it's worth.
Okay.
Can we sneak in one more, Florida State?
Yeah, I was talking with Nick Bogdanovich at Boomer Sportsbooks about this, the Hall of Famer. He says he's bet against Duke about 50 times this year. Well, that's an exaggeration. And he's 0 for 50.
Yeah.
But he's going to bet against Duke again today. I took 18 with Florida State last night. I think right now, what's the best number in the market? 17 or 17.5?
Right around there, yep.
So Florida State, tricky team here. 11-3 in the last 14 games since mid-January. Two of those losses were three-point losses. And when they played Duke on January 3rd, that game went down to the wire in Tallahassee, 91-87. This Florida State team's been playing sneaky good basketball here, and Duke down a couple of starters. I think you got to take the bunch of points here with the Seminoles.
All right, very good. Conference tournament futures with Humans coming up and his review of the Big Arch. I'm looking forward to that. Juice Reel links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking and analytics, and it's free in the app. Everyone's history is synced directly from the books. No lying about profits. Juice Reel ranks every bettor. You can see exactly what the best bettors in the community have their money on. And if you're the sharp bettor, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get it today. Download Juice Reel. Juice just like orange juice. R-E-E-L. Juice Reel. Get it now.
Auburn's at the line right now. 15.8 seconds left. They're down by 10. 72-62. He misses the free throw.
What a collapse.
Tennessee gets the ball, and I think they're going to... Yeah, there you go. They're going to let it run out.
Bye-bye.
That is a... that's a rough beat for those who back the Tigers.
Up 12 in the second half.
Ouch. Are they in the tournament?
No way.
More with Matt Humans coming up next. Another bet tonight on an ACC game. Futures that he likes. All here on VSiN. Follow the Money is brought to you by PropitX, and right now you could be winning a $5,000 or a $10,000 trip during March Madness. Check out King of March and use the code VSINMM. Best Bet Soccer coming up in a minute. We do have breaking news in the National Football League. Moments ago came out reports saying that Kyler Murray is going to sign a one-year deal with the Vikings. 1 year. Owed $36.8 million from the Cardinals. So he's going to go to the Vikings on a one-year contract for the veteran league minimum.
I'm excited.
How excited?
Good move. Tip top.
You're going to have 60-71 in pocket, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you going to have MVP in pocket?
No, I will not do that. No. MVP, come on. That's good news, though. Meat Man, good to talk to you. Steve Wiss, the butcher, on the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now. Meat Man Soccer on X. Let's start. Good to see you. Let's start with total in Saturday's match, 8 a.m. Pacific, Burnley and Bournemouth, over 2.5. What say you, Meat Man?
Well, hey, guys. I hope you're doing really well. Got a few meaty plays today to get stuck into. But we start with this over in Burnley-Bournemouth, over 2.5 goals, minus 137. Because, I mean, the rules with Bournemouth usually are back the over when they're playing away from home. 10 out of 14 away games for Bournemouth this season have gone over.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their matches recently have been more low scoring, but it's not been for lack of chances. So I think they just need to convert a few more. And Burnley are just kind of in a phase now where they've got to swing hard, like a boxer. You know, they're going to lose on points. They need a couple of knockout blows. And some of their games have been wild of late. They lost 4-3 in their last home match to Brentford. They beat Crystal Palace 3-2. Early in the season, they were known for more low-scoring games, but four of their last five games at home now have been over 2.5 goals. So they don't look like winning matches 1-0. They can only win shootouts. I think we'll get an open game. Bournemouth may as well go for it. They're in the hunt for top 6-7 positions as well.
Sounds good. Under now, Arsenal-Everton, 2.5.
I think we're going to get quite a poor game. Actually, Arsenal. Uh-huh. Well, you've got to remember, several Premier League teams are right in a sandwich here this weekend between fixtures in the Champions League, Europa League, or Conference League. And I'm not sure I want to go near many of these teams. Arsenal only drew away against Bayer Leverkusen on Tuesday evening. They should win the home leg against them and progress, but I could see a bit of rotation. Premier League still very, very important for Arsenal, of course, but they've got a bit of a gap now to Manchester City again. So they might just be a little bit below par, struggle a little bit to break Everton down. Everton will come with a defensive game plan under David Moyes. He's a very experienced manager. And they've got, obviously, the goalkeeper in Jordan Pickford, England's number one. He's a fantastic shot stopper. He's made some brilliant saves recently. So I think he could frustrate Arsenal for a bit. Most likely score Arsenal 1-0 or 2-0 win. And they probably score from a set piece or a corner. So under 2.5 goals, minus 110. That's what I like here. I think we're going to get quite a poor game.
All right. This is a huge match. I'm shocked at the price. This is a relegation battle. West Ham near the bottom of the table, tied with Nottingham Forest and 1 point below Tottenham, which we'll get to in a second. Can they take their FA Cup momentum into this battle? And Man City's at a low price. What do you think?
I'm going to oppose Manchester City. I opposed them last weekend and it didn't work well for me, but I think West Ham are probably playing better than Newcastle in a way. They are fighting for their lives. Every point matters. They're scrapping so hard. And, you know, they've only lost two of their last eight games. So this is a team that's not easily beaten. I'm going to take them double chance here, plus 115. I wouldn't actually be even surprised if West Ham won the game. Mm. And I nearly considered putting them up on the money line, to be honest, guys.
Uh-huh.
Because City were just so bad midweek. They lost at Real Madrid 3-0, and I can't get that performance out of my head. They're not out of that tie. They're going to play Real Madrid again. So this is a sandwich weekend for Manchester City against a West Ham team that, like you rightly said, Paulie, they've got a lot of momentum now. They're doing well in the FA Cup as well, playing far better soccer. I'm going to chance my arm with West Ham United. And you know, this bet might not be for everyone because City will be a popular play as well, and West Ham are in the relegation zone. I really think they can give City some problems. This is not the vintage Manchester City of 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Well, this is a side that probably is just the second best team in the league only now.
That's it. Okay. So I want to tie in both of those, the last matches that you talked about. Man City does have a match in hand against Arsenal, but they're also 7 points back. Are you basically calling this for Arsenal?
Yeah. I think Arsenal will have still some stuttering moments, but Manchester City just don't seem to have the depth anymore that they used to have. I mean, they drew against Nottingham Forest last time in the league, and they led twice in that game. That you can't do that if you want to win Premier League titles. It's not good enough. So I just think Manchester City now might have to focus on the FA Cup and And the Carabao Cup final as well against Arsenal, because 7 points is a massive gap to make up, even though they've got a game in hand and they've got to play against each other.
Okay, let's go to Sunday. The kids still can't get the haircut. Man, you can't win five in a row. They came close, but you want to back Man United on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to just take Man United on the money line. Let's start this run of five wins in a row for the guy on looking for his haircut, because, again, they're going to get Aston Villa at a perfect time. Aston Villa just played tonight in the Europa League. They won in France, but only 1-0. And Aston Villa don't always perform that well after they played on Thursday nights in Europe. Manchester United have got a huge advantage in terms of they've had the whole week to prepare. In fact, they've had longer than that because they were knocked out of the FA Cup. So they've had nearly a two-week break to prepare. So there's absolutely no excuses for Man United. They have an excellent record in this fixture. And Aston Villa, for as good of a season as they've had overall, their form has been pretty poor, in fact, very poor, since the start of February. Just two wins in all competitions in their last eight games. So minus 137 on Manchester United might seem a little bit skinny for some, but when you weigh in all the external advantages that they've got here, then I think they just have to be a bet simply straight on the money line.
Every time we talk to you, you're stunned that Tottenham's in this position, but it only gets worse. So you said it could be the biggest relegation story in Premier League history. Then they went out a couple days ago in the Champions League. They were down 4-0 20 minutes in. So what they on NBC Sunday, they take on Liverpool. Liverpool's $3. You're not going to lay that, but do you think this gets out of hand?
Yeah, I think there's a chance it could get massive for Liverpool, which is why it's worth taking them on the minus 2.5 handicap, plus 215. Obviously, for this bet to win, you need Liverpool definitely to score at least three goals, possibly more. They've done that on 12 occasions this season, though. This is a team that scores a lot of goals. Tottenham were so bad against Atletico Madrid. They were so bad, they substituted off the goalkeeper after 15 minutes when they were 3-0 down. That never happens.
Yeah.
It's the manager, Igor Tudor, I don't see how he stays in the job. He's saying all the wrong things. He's coaching all the wrong things as well. And I believe they've only just kept him in because they think whoever's in charge, they'll lose this game anyway. And they might want a clean slate after this week and give someone else a chance. But I just think if Spurs lose, it could be a massive defeat again, because then everything about them is so bad, especially defensively.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just, they're too soft. They're lacking a backbone to get involved in this relegation battle. So that's why I think at plus 215, it's worth definitely a nibble. Liverpool, if they win, I believe it could be quite a big, big win and pile even more misery on this Tottenham Hotspur team.
So the price is too high. We can't go against Sheffield Wednesday, Saturday, because you got to lay two goals. So you're not going to do that. But I know you're going to have a good tidbit here. We're going League Two with Fleetwood Town.
Money line on Fleetwood, minus 143. And, I mean, Tranmere are in shocking form. This might be the most out-of-form team in the entire English league pyramid right now. They've lost 11 of their last 12 league fixtures, which almost seems impossible in League Two, doesn't it? The standard of what's going on down there. But they are currently 7 points clear of the relegation zone, and they've got to be careful. They're looking over their shoulders. But they actually could be relegated if they keep this run of form up. But I see them losing again. Fleetwood are much the better team, unbeaten in seven games of Fleetwood. They've had a few draws in that period. But if the form book continues as it is, this is a home win all day long. So we don't need to complicate it. I thought we would be sort of minus 175, even minus 200 on Fleetwood to win this game. That's how bad Tranmere have been of late. And the main problem has been the defence. The defence is so bad, they usually concede at least two goals in every game. And if you do that, then you are constantly fighting a losing battle, aren't you? So home win for me, Fleetwood money line, minus 143, probably definitely one of the best bets of the weekend.
Good luck, my man. Good to talk to you. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. You take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Steve. On Meatman, at Meatman Soccer on X, Because We Win Pod. And he was on the Progressive Guest Line, Steve Wiss, the Butcher. Good breakdown.
Love the analysis, as always.
Yep.
From him.
All right. I'm excited. I know he was 38-48-1 in Arizona and only one trip to the playoffs, but this is a big upgrade for the Minnesota Vikings. Big move. And that division is vile and nasty. What a tough division.
So what happens if he plays out of his mind this year in a one-year deal?
He's going to make a lot of money.
From the Vikings? And they're
good question.
They have punted fully on J.J. McCarthy?
I don't know about that. They say he's going to compete, but I think it's all but over.
Our best bets, we like to call them in-pocket plays, next here on VSiN.